This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. The Republican Party has long been associated with local control of public services, but that's changing in the North Carolina legislature. A number of bills in the GOP General Assembly would move power up the chain. For instance, control over school construction has long been in the hands of local school boards, but the Senate passed a bill that would give county commissioners power over school construction in 10 North Carolina counties. It's one of several education bills that have recently passed the Senate. Dave DeWitt joins us on the program to talk about that legislation. Dave's WNC's education reporter and Raleigh bureau chief. Dave, welcome back.
Hi, Frank.
Tell us about this bill, Senate Bill 236, the one that would move control from the county to the local school board to county commissioners.
Yeah, the bill was introduced, and it was going to include all 100 North Carolina counties originally, and that was going to the counties that wanted to do it. It wasn't going to be mandatory. And as you said, right now school boards control the buildings and construction, sort of the entire process, and have for decades. This would have changed that. And sort of mysteriously, magically, as happens at the state legislature, it got changed here in the last day or two to include only these 10 counties. Everybody believed from the beginning it really was focused on Wake County, which, and this is an important point, the Wake School Board is democratically controlled. Wake County Commissioners is Republican controlled. And as you know, the state legislature is Republican controlled. So this was going to essentially make the Wake County Commissioners more powerful and the Wake School Board less powerful, because it is a pretty powerful thing to control school construction. That's a major thing that the school board does, especially in a growing county like Wake County. So now it's just the 10 counties, and it has another important element to it. Once a bill only affects a certain number of counties, a small number of counties, in this case 10, then it no longer has to go to the governor for either veto or signature. It automatically gets passed once it gets passed both houses.
Wait, so the legislature can pass legislation about individual counties, mm-hmm. and that becomes the law of the land. The governor doesn't have to sign it. It's
no.
done.
And does that all the time, not just in this instance, but does that all the time for certain counties.
So what's behind this now? As you say, it's control of the buildings, control of construction. First thing that comes to mind is there are a lot of lucrative contracts that would be associated with that.
Right. A lot of lucrative contracts, building contracts, siting of the buildings. That's always a political hot potato. You know, you might say, okay, this area of North Raleigh is really growing. We need to put a school here. Where do we put it? It's available land. It's got to be contiguous to the area. You talk about school redistricting. It's a political hot button. And who owns the land, and how do we acquire it, and what price do we acquire it? You know, school boards have done this for a long time, have a pretty streamlined process of it. County commissioners haven't done it. But one of the arguments that the county commissioners make is that county commissioners tend to be made up of more business-oriented people, used to these kinds of high-level negotiations. School boards tend to be, you know, populated by people who are less finance oriented, and this would make a better suited to county commissioners in Wake County making this change.
And are county commissions behind this? Is that where the impetus for this bill? How many of those county commissions petitioned the state legislature for this change?
None. Wake County did. This is a bill that came out of Wake County. You know, maybe not officially, but it's very obvious that that's the case. And the person behind that, certainly, Paul Coble, the chair of the Wake County Board of Commissioners, is centrally involved in this, as are certain Republican legislators who represent Wake County.
All right. So this would remove local control, move it up the chain a little bit. A lot at stake, the location of schools, contracts, who gets to give them out, and who benefits by all of that. And then the other question is whether or not these counties, in Wake County, for instance, apparently it's already had an impact on negotiations over whether to put a bond issue on the next ballot.
Right. There is a bond issue going to be on the next ballot, $810 million. You know, originally that was going to be over $1 billion. That's new school construction. You know, as I mentioned, Wake County's had tremendous growth, continued to grow even throughout the recession. And now a lot of groups who are against this move, against moving control of buildings out of the Board of Education in Wake County, believe that this is going to put the bond issue in some sort of jeopardy when voters come up, get a chance to vote for it. Certainly it's not going to help. You know, voters in general, even if you have kids in the school system, this isn't something you're going to know the nuts and bolts of. All you're going to know is, boy, there's a lot of arguing going on between these folks. And Wake School Board has certainly not had a good public relations the last couple of years for a variety of issues. So there may be people who decide based on that. It's unlikely. You know, if you support schools, you're going to vote for the bond issue. If you think that it's going to how it would affect your property value is going to be too high tax, then you're not going to. So it's unlikely that it will. But talking about it in a negative way certainly doesn't help.
More education bills on the agenda. One that would this week. Legislation that passed that advocates for a new charter school board at the state level to oversee charter schools separate from the state education board. Is that right?
Right. And this charter school board would be populated presumably by people who are supporters of charter schools. And going back a little bit in history, you know, the cap of 100 charter schools was lifted a couple years ago, and then a lot more applications started coming into the State Board of Education. There's always been this council. Advisory council that has, you know, gone through some of these applications and put forward the ones that they think are pretty good, and then the State Board of Education votes on them. There's a lot more charter schools starting this fall than there ever have been before, except for in the very early stages since the cap was lifted, certainly. So this separate charter board would take control over all aspects of managing charters from the time they applied to running them, or, you know, managing them, supervising them on a day-to-day basis. With a three-quarters vote of the it goes to the state board, and they can only overturn things with a three-quarters vote. So essentially, this charter board would operate independently of the state school board. What's interesting about this is a lot of advocates of charters are for this, but there are a lot of advocates of charter schools and a lot of very prominent Republicans who are not for this at all, including State Board of Education Chairman Bill Coby, who thinks it's a bad idea and thinks it's unconstitutional in the North Carolina Constitution.
Let's talk about who thinks it's a good idea and why.
People who want to start charter schools, people who operate charter schools in this state already, who believe that competition is central. In other words,
but let me interrupt you for just a second, because you can have all of that, but it would be then guided by the standards of the state school board. And while those are different from charter schools, the idea is we're going to let them operate under slightly different rules. There would be one body that would govern both access to education so that lower income people have equal access. One of the big complaints or worries about charter school, and that some educational standards are being met. That would all be now reside in one body with the state.
And what's it does now, yeah.
Which it does now. If you had a separate charter school body, a board overseeing all this, proponents say that's better because?
Because they feel that charter schools, people who know charter schools the best would be making those decisions. And they believe that in the past, some decisions may have been made by the state school board that were in favor of traditional public schools to the detriment of charter schools. And they want to eliminate that. They want a state school board to make the decision on traditional public schools, charter school board to make the decisions on charter school boards, what's best for both of them, and maintain an equal competitive playing field in whatever county has traditional public schools and charter schools so that parents can make decisions based on those things.
And the opponents say?
Opponents of both sides are certainly, you know, believe that the state school board can manage both, that it has constitutional authority to manage both, and that it will hinder cooperation. And that's a growing thing. There's a lot more cooperation now between charter schools and traditional public schools. Charter schools are essentially here to stay, you're seeing more cooperation pop up, and they feel like two boards would hinder that.
All right. Another bill would end the class size limits in public schools that have been imposed by the state. Tell us about that.
This was another bill proposed by Republicans. They say it will give LEAs, local education administrations, the opportunity to make decisions for themselves, not adhere to anything from the state down, saying you have to have no more than 24 kids in a first, second, or third grade or kindergarten classroom. They feel that these local school districts can make their better decisions on how to use their state dollars. Opponents of that say that if you, the research is completely overwhelming that small schools, small classes have better educational outcomes for children, and they this mandate should stay, and that removing it makes no sense at all.
So here, local control is good.
Here, local control is good. Yeah, it's whenever local
you
control
need a
is
program
good,
to keep track, don't
that's
you?
Right.
These
sometimes
days.
It is, and sometimes.
Let
it's
me
not.
Ask you about this argument because you talked about the all the research which shows conclusively that smaller class sizes are better, particularly at the lower grades, and so that unless that local board was going to or local decision maker principal was going to lower the class size, they're not really going to help education much. Though they could certainly lower the cost of education by raising the number of students, right?
Fewer teachers.
But let me ask you this. Is part of the argument against this, you know, business is coming to North Carolina in big numbers and has over the past few decades, in part because of infrastructure, roads, and education, a very important part of why businesses move here. Is that part of the push against this, that if you degrade education, it could hurt economic development for the state?
That's certainly the push against anything that funds education at a lower level. Certainly on these individual specific issues it's brought up, but it's more about the budget, which we know the state Senate is now going to release their version this Sunday. You know, the Governor McCrory's budget, for example, lowered the funding to state university system by $139 million. Now, you heard that cry from the mountaintops. You know, this is why people come, particularly to the Triangle region, but also to the state of North Carolina, because the state university system has a great reputation and has always been well funded by the state. If that begins to erode, what happens to the, you know, to the respect for the university system? What happens to the university system itself in producing good workers at a high level? Same goes for the community college system. There's a lot of questions about the community college system rates, either, you know, or funding going down or remaining flat. And what is that going to do? Because Governor McCrory really is pushing forward some you know, job-related educational opportunities, and nowhere is that more prevalent than it is at community colleges.
All right, Dave, thank you very much for helping us keep track of what's going on in the North Carolina legislature. Dave DeWitt, WUNC's education reporter and Raleigh bureau chief. Thanks, Dave.
My pleasure.
Just ahead, we'll speak with Emily Matcher about why more rustic lifestyle is making a comeback among young progressives. You're listening to the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.